back on Inside Black and Gold. Sorry, that took a little longer than I intended. I went to go refill my drink because I need to get more lubricated before I try to pretend there were good things that happened today. And then Claire finished the bottle of wine, so I opened another bottle of wine. It was the whole thing. But this is the second segment. We're going to do our three up studs, whatever you want to call it. There weren't a ton of them. But Steve, okay, give me one thing that you think went well today, Steve. Tell me.
We got to see a kick return from Rashid Shaheed. Was at least an exciting point of the game.
It was an exciting point of the game. You know, I do want to do a victory lap here, and you I went in on this morning with you on stop putting Jamal Williams back to return kicks. I asked Darren Rizzi about this during the week, and I was like, can you just explain to me why Jamal Williams is returning kicks? And I didn't mean it to sound that accusatory, but when it came out, it did. And I just like, but it was meant that way. Like it was, I was trying to make it sound a little bit more amicable, but it came out as like, why the hell would you do that? And like Darren was very taken aback by it. He was just like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, there's a lot of people on your roster that you could put back there to return kicks. Why did you pick Jamal? And he didn't really have an answer. Yeah. And we talked about it this morning. And I was like, there's no good reason to put Jamal back there. Because he was like, well, the other guy who doesn't return it has to block. And they're like, yeah, but if you put Jamal next to Rashid, who in their right mind is going to kick it within a mile of Rashid, they're going to kick it to Jamal. So Rashid's the one that has to block. And when you know it, so I don't know if maybe I put that bug in his ear or whatever, but Mason Tipton was back there for this game returning kicks, which is the common sense thing to do. The fact that was not happening was stupid. It felt like they were just trying to give Jamal something to do. Like they felt bad because he was bored.
They're like, oh, that reporter's onto something.
Well, I don't know. Like, I maybe it's a coincidence, but I was happy to see it because it made no sense to me. And apparently it didn't make sense to a lot of the people too. But no, Rashid, you know, when he gets opportunities to return punts, it's a big play waiting to happen. So no, I mean, he will always be an elite punt returner. Whatever else he does.
Right.
I don't think you will ever get to a scenario where you're like, he's too important to the offense to have him back, to not have him back there returning punts.
Right. Because he provides that boost on special teams that nobody else can.
I don't know if nobody else can, but he is that good at it. Like
he does it better than anyone else right now.
He's an all pro returner and you want to take advantage of that. Yeah. So, okay. Well, like one of my biggest ones is, hey, Bub Means, you know, we hadn't really seen him. He was a fifth round pick. You know, they liked him out of Pitt. You know, he's a Louisiana guy. He went to Louisiana Tech. Right. And we hadn't really seen him. Like he and Derek hadn't necessarily had a connection. Like you didn't run a lot of three wide receiver sets. So he didn't get on the field a ton. And when you did have a third wide receiver, it was often Cedric Wilson. But today Olave went out and, you know, I thought Bub looked good. Like he didn't look out. Like a lot of times you'll see a young receiver get out there and he'll make a play or two and he just kind of looks awkward. He doesn't look ready. Like he looks like undersized or he doesn't look like he can hack it. First of all, dude's big. Dude's yoked. Like for a rookie receiver in the NFL, like he doesn't look undersized at all. Like when Chris Olave went out there as a rookie, you were like, man, that guy looks tiny compared to some of these defensive players. Bob, I don't feel that way. Like I feel like he can be that physical contested catch receiver for this team. And it's clear that Spencer is comfortable throwing in the ball, and it's not exactly
definitely.
Why. That's a guy he's worked with. That's a guy he's thrown to all camp. Going into the game, one of my questions was, what's the chemistry like between Spencer and Chris Olave, Spencer and Rashid Shaheed? Well, you saw like the chemistry between him and Bub looked great because they've been working together. And I don't know, like I would bet that you're gonna have a hard time getting him on the waiver wire of your fantasy league this week, because anyone who watched that game was like, oh, Spencer likes throwing to Bub. Like he's looking for Bub.
And especially like you mentioned too, if you have Olave on your roster, chances of him being ready for Thursday night football ain't good.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. If you have a Chris Olave on your fantasy roster, go put in a claim for Bub Means right now, because he's going to be involved if Chris isn't out there, and I bet he isn't. So no, I talked to Bub after the game. So he actually, you know, he had one play that I was not a big fan of, and it was the incompletion early in the second half, right? And it was funny. I think the first drive of both halves ended with a receiver catching a ball and immediately putting it on the ground. Chris's went for a fumble. Bub's went for an incompletion. And What bothers me is like the only, I feel like Chris's wasn't a catch either. They just,
that's another issue, right?
The but they didn't want to wipe out the fumble return. So if that ball gets knocked out and bounces out of bounds, I am 100% confident they would have called it an incomplete pass. Because it got picked up and run to the end zone, the value of it is so high that the overturn feels like there's more weight on it, that they're like, it was close enough. Let's call it a fumble. That's an exciting play. We're not going to overturn it. Whereas it's like, that's the same play. The exact same thing happened. But the second time, because it was this much more minimal impact on the game, they called it incomplete. Which, here's the thing. They overturned it to incomplete, but it was called a fumble on the field. And because it was called a fumble on the field, Connor McGovern has to go over there and try to make a tackle and gets called for a face mask penalty. But even though that play never existed, you still get penalized. That knocked the Saints out of field goal range. They were at the 35-yard line. They didn't score in the second half. That was their best chance to score in the second half. So it's like, guys, be consistent or don't do it. Anyway, that annoyed me. But that was a, you know, when I say like, okay, you're going to be doing ball security drills for the receivers on Monday, that's why. Because like that was a first down if he holds on to it. Instead, it just gets punched out. But that was really the only negative thing I saw today. Even on the interception to Shahid, Bub Means actually came back and punched that ball out. It was kind of like a Robert Meacham, okay, come get the ball. And the Saints didn't get on it. But either way.
Yeah, overall, it was nice to see Bub. I forget which podcast leading up to this game, you had put up an old clip, an older clip from him from training camp talking about Spencer Rattler. And in my mind, I swear, I'm thinking, I'm like, wow, he went digging in the crates for a Bub Means clip. What's he even doing right now? And boom, he ends up doing something in this game. So, yeah, that was nice. Obviously, which rookie gets to hold on to the football after that TD?
Yeah, well, so a couple things. One, Bub actually hurt his thumb. I did report that he was in the injury tent in the fourth quarter. Yeah, he hurt his thumb as he was punching it out. He said it wasn't a big deal. He should be fine, but I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up on the injury report. I expect him to play on Thursday, but what was the question? Oh, the football. Yeah, so I asked Bub who got the football, and he was like, I didn't even think about that. He was like, I didn't even think about that until you just told me. Now I'm like, where is it? And Spencer was then asked in his press conference, and he was just like, well, they put it in my locker, so I guess it's mine.
And that's how that went.
Yeah. But no, it's like, it's kind of strange. I can't recall another scenario. I mean, definitely not for the Saints, where it's like, okay, a rookie quarterback threw his first career touchdown to a rookie wide receiver catching his first career touchdown. Which Deuce was like, oh, yeah, but he's been active for other games. I'm like, that doesn't matter. What are you talking about? That's not how it works. Like,
maybe you just cut it in half and put it on a plaque for both of them.
Yeah. I don't know. But I did think that like maybe whoever gets it is going to have to like do something nice for the other guy. Let's put it that way. They both got signing bonuses. I bet Spencer got a better signing bonus. But no, I was a big fan of how Bub played. And in a game where not a lot went well, I think that's a really positive thing because, hey, you know, you need that contested catch receiver. You need that kind of big body guy. And if he can work his way into that role, cool. You know, I think he's got a lot of upside.
No, and nice to see. Obviously, I gave him in our, you know, post-game show, I gave him the diamond in the rough performance, a fifth-round pick coming up big and, you know, really his most extended action we've seen him a part of.
They were both fifth-round picks.
That's pretty funny, right? Yeah. So, yeah, but yeah, big positive there. And maybe he can be that larger target for this team that they're missing.
Yeah, no. And again, it's just like there's not a lot to choose from when you're talking about, okay, what went well. So we went with that.
Yeah.
Another thing, you know, like Spencer Rattler's first half, I don't have this first half numbers in front of me, but they were solid, right? There was no turnovers. Obviously, there was that fumble, but that was not his fault. You had that one kind of smoke route or bubble screen, whatever, where he kind of pulled out too early. Didn't get his hand on the ball, didn't get the laces, and he kind of bumped out. He fell on it. But generally speaking, I thought he was calm, collected, on target with his throws.
When made you were some able nice to get throws him, on the run even.
Right, when you were able to get him out in space, right, like you move the pocket a lot with him. My critique is I need to see him be able to stand in the pocket and kind of live in the pocket a little bit more. But, you know, that the kind of boot keep game is a big part of this offense that I don't know if they've been getting to as much with Derek as they might have wanted to. And when you were able to get that game going, it worked, right? You were able to work across the field. You were able to hit Juwan Johnson for a big gain. You were able to hit Foster Morrow for a big gain. Again, Bub, right? I thought that that touchdown pass was just excellent quarterback play. Like you delayed, you pump faked, you got it over the top to the guy, got him in the corner of the end zone. You know, was it perfect? No, but when you're looking at a rookie, like if he played the entire game like he did in that first half, we'd be talking about like, holy crap, what a debut. Instead, we're talking about, okay, he's a rookie, you know, and we are treating him with kid gloves, to be fair. Like, I was thinking like in the second half of that game, I was like, if this was Derek Carr and this game was going this way and Derek threw a couple interceptions in the second half and you weren't able to get any offense, get any sustained drives, how loudly, there's no question whether the crowd would be booing. It's how loud would the boos be?
There'd definitely be torches and pitchforks.
What would the decibel level of the boos be? Because it would, like, if Derek was playing that way in the second half, people would have been out for blood. But he's a rookie, so you kind of give him a pass. And we do have to acknowledge that. Like, we're treating him with kid gloves because he's a rookie, but that's part of the deal. That's why putting him in this scenario where, like, going to a rookie in a game that feels like a must-win is just a nightmare, because that was always going to go that way. That's why in the pregame show, I was trying to be like, guys, just understand this might not go the way you're hoping it will. And it probably won't go the way you're hoping it will. Because that's like, it's hard to see a scenario where it's like, yeah, this went perfectly. There was no mistakes. You know, if he got away without throwing any interceptions, you would have been like, wow, that's great. But the problem is that one interception really felt like it swung the momentum at a moment where like Baker went out hurt. You're like, wow, maybe if the Saints can go down and score here, they can take it over. But no, I mean, I thought, you know, when you go back and you look at the tape of this game and you look at, you know, you went down 17-0. This game could have been a nightmare.
It looked like it was going to be, right?
Right. And while the Bucs still gave the Saints a lot of favors, right? They turned the ball over twice.
Penalties.
So many penalties. It was like they were trying to, you know, the script writers were like, yeah, give them a chance, guys. Come on, give them a chance. But, you know, he took advantage of those opportunities when they presented themselves, especially that final drive I thought was really impressive. The one right before, now was it right before halftime? I think it was right before halftime where you went down and then I think it was Alvin scored the touchdown. Like that was kind of that was a big time drive in a moment where it was like, hey, you could take a lead going into halftime. That's a big deal. We didn't know at that point that the wheels were going to come off after halftime. You got the ball back. After halftime, you were like, man, if you can score here and then go to a touchdown after halftime, you're up 10. And I think if you could, you know, if Bub killed onto that ball, you get a first down, you finish off that drive for points, you're up 10. I think the second half of that game might go differently. Because the Bucs are probably going to get out of their game plan a little bit. They might be a little frazzled. It didn't happen that way. But I don't know. There's a lot of ways this game could have gone for the Saints, for the rookie. I think there's a lot of good in with the bad there. Even in a 51-27 game that sucked, I can't be mad about Spence.
You mentioned, too, with Spencer being able to hit Juwan and Foster Moreau. It was like, holy crap, we do have tight ends.
That was my other up.
Okay.
The tight ends actually can catch passes. Wow. What a thing. What a dream. The tight ends catching balls.
Amazing, right?
What's better than this? Guys being dudes. But no, like that's what's been driving me nuts. It's like you're telling me that these guys can't catch a pass. You're telling me that you can't get these guys two or three targets a game. Bullshit. It's possible. You're just not doing it, Derek. Throw the ball at goddamn tight ends. Because, I mean, it's not like you peppered him with targets. Juwan Johnson got targeted 3 times, 48 yards. Foster got targeted 2 times, 54 yards. Those were your two leading receivers in the game.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, I don't need them to be these dynamic downfield George Kittle, Sam Laporta tight ends, but I do need them to at least be a threat in the middle of the field so that the defense has to account for them. And I thought that was the case today. So that's a positive thing for me because, like, I was starting to wonder, like, what's going on? This is stupid. Like, are we just going to pretend these guys don't exist in the passing game? Because that's what we're doing.
Mostly, yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, you get like one or two catches from like a Foster or a Juwan, it would never used to be in the same in the game. This one, you felt at least both got, you know, some action in here. And yeah, it was felt like early on though. I don't know if there was really anything to Morrow and Juwan late. I guess obviously all the success with the offense came in the first half of this game.
Yeah. Juwan caught a pass late, but I mean, you weren't able to sustain drives in the second half, right?
No.
After halftime, the first drive was 7 plays, 35 yards, ended with the punt after that Connor McGovern penalty and the Bub Means drop, right? Next possession, 3 plays, -3 yards, punt. Next possession, 3 plays, 2 yards, punt. Next possession, 3 plays, 11 yards, interception. Next possession, 3 plays, -5 yards, punt. Make next possession, top. 5 plays, 28 yards, interception. Next possession, 8 plays, 39 yards, end of game. So, and that's not even true. I think they turned it over on downs. So, like again, like one of the reasons the defense really fell apart at the end of that game is that you did not sustain a single drive in the second half. So it's like, even if you want to say like, hey, if the defense played better, maybe you give yourself a chance. I don't know. You had to score points. That was the thing I tweeted coming out of halftime. It was like, the Saints need to keep scoring points because I don't know if this defense can cover. One thing we didn't really talk about. So Tyrann Mathieu left. Alante Taylor left with an injury. He came back, but I think he was playing hurt, right? Jonathan Abram dealing with a back issue. I was surprised he was able to get back because I don't know if you've ever thrown out your back, but once you do, it's tough. Like, I would be surprised if he plays on Thursday. If he's able.
How much do you think not having Tyrann helped hindered the communication on the field?
Definitely didn't help.
I can't imagine, right?
And no, I mean, it's a frustrating thing to watch because he's a big part of that defense. And no, especially from an emotional standpoint, like you want him out there. But no, it just wasn't good. Anyone else you want to mention? I got one more, but anyone else you want to mention?
On the plus column, I'll have to give a shout out because Bobby said at first he gave much love to the punter.
Yeah, that's my last one. It's my weekly. Like, hey, the punter's like not that bad. I feel like every week I say this. How many times? Let's see. He punted 6 times. Ugh. One of them was a 58 yarder. He had 3 inside the 20 and an average of 44.3. Yeah, he's been great. He's been great. I gave him a lot of grief in the preseason, but he's proved me wrong. I like it. So every week I'm going to say, hey, the punter's all right.
Right. It's just unfortunate. That's where we're getting. We have to mention that in our ups, you know, part of the you know, conversation. And it's you're like, great. We're raving about punting.
You got to fill it out somehow.
But yeah, obviously, I don't think that, you know, Headley was getting the job done. Sweet Lou, obviously, I can't imagine how things would be right now. But yeah, shout out to Hayball. He's been consistent too, come in the regular season, I feel like.
No, I mean, I'd like to see him get more punts like close to the goal line. That's the only thing that he hasn't done is like pin a team like back to the 3, right? And that is something Lou did a few times, is he was able to get that ball really close to the goal line and have it check back. And Matt's punts tend to be 10, 8, whatever. That's a very, you know, nitpicky critique. But no, he's been solid. And there hasn't been a moment. I don't think he's hit a bad punt yet. Maybe that first punt, the first punt he had against the Panthers was a bad punt after waiting.
Right, because it was like, oh no, here we go again.
Well, when I asked Darren Rizzi about it, and he was like, we really didn't even know what we were talking about until week 3. Because we didn't even ask him to punt weeks 1 or 2 because we didn't have to. Like, he was waiting 3 quarters, and then the 4th quarter, we're like, all right, go ahead, see what you can do. But no, the last 4 weeks he's been really solid, and I don't know how his net numbers are looking. I'd have to double check, but you haven't asked him to punt backed up a lot. Like, I don't think you've had a situation where he's actually had to punt from the end zone, right? Like, you know, like there was a punt in that game where Camarda was like literally standing that the Rashid touchdown. Like, he was literally standing at the back of his end zone. And when you have to do that, that becomes a very difficult scenario. And that's how you end up with a kick return touchdown. But no, I can't be mad about him. But I do think that's the last of my positives.
No, they're definitely, it's hard to come up with. And then you're like, all right, there were a little here and there, but yeah, nothing to rave about, especially just, you know, the yardage and just the second half of the barrage of points that was put on you is just so dismaying.
Yeah. Yeah. The 51, you know, I'll give Dennis Allen credit because I think that what he was trying to do at the end of the game was to get his rookie quarterback another drive to get reps, right? Because if it was Derek Carr, he doesn't need that extra drive. Like he's got as many as he needs. Whereas for Rattler, I actually think, hey, get him a few extra, get him another chance to lead a drive, because that could benefit you on Thursday. So he did that at the expense of his defense having 50 hung on it. Because when you're calling timeouts on that final Bucks drive where they would have run out the clock if you gave them the opportunity, they're going to score. They're not going to not score. So it's 44 points, which 40, I don't know, like 44 and 51, they're not that, they're only one touchdown apart, but it feels a lot worse.
Once you get to the quote unquote 50 burger, it's like, ouch.
It feels a lot worse. And so I'll give DA credit, because I think the only reason you're calling that timeout there is to get Spencer another drive to kind of work on some stuff. And, you know, by doing that, he kind of took a black, like an extra black eye on his defense that he probably didn't have to take. So I'll give him credit for that. It's not a good thing, but people were like, well, why do you call those timeouts? I'm like, I think that's why. And I understand that, but it's just kind of funny, because it's like the game is over at that point. Like calling the timeouts was just like, all right.
Well, I got to hit the waiver wires and get me Sean Tucker. So
yeah, Sean Tucker and Bub Means, and see you can get. But all right, let's wrap up this segment. We're gonna come back. This is gonna take a little while, because there's like 200 something comments in here. I'm sure a lot of them are just fire the coach, so those are gonna be pretty easy to sift through. But we'll have to go through and star a bunch of them so we can get through in our mailbag. So stick around. We'll be right back. This is Inside Black and Gold. My hair is going nuts. I have not been able to solve that problem. But we'll be right back. Subscribe. I'm Jeff Nowak. He is Steve Geller. The Saints suck. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that. They're terrible. They are.
Wait a minute, let me rephrase that.
They are the bane of my existence. The Saints want me. The Saints don't actually care about anything but making me personally as miserable as possible. That is the story of this game, and I'm sure a lot of people feel that way right now.
Like, hey, we gave you the first two games.
Hey, we gave you the second quarter. What are you mad about?
Hey.
why are they Italian? Anyway,
I don't know. I don't know what happened.
All right, this segment's supposed to end. Bye.